It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. We are reviewing an astonishing morning and waiting for more developments as police in the Boston area search for a suspect who is still believed to be at large in the Boston Marathon bombing. Many people may still be waking up, may just be waking up to this coverage. Let's review very quickly. Police last night released images from the Boston Marathon bombing of two men. Then one of those men was seen on a security camera robbing a 7-Eleven last night. Police converged on Boston suburbs. There was a car chase. There were a number of violent incidents. An MIT police officer was killed. A Boston Transit cop was wounded. Police fired at these two suspects in an SUV. The men dropped explosives. One of them, identified as Temerlan Tsarnaev, was killed. Another, Jokhar Tsarnaev, at last word, was still at large, possibly in Watertown, Massachusetts. That's where police are looking anyway.
And, Steve, police have been focusing on a building in Watertown, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston. There's been a lot of intense police activity there for some time. One of the reporters on the scene is Fred Bever. He works for our great member station in Boston, WBUR. And, Fred, bring us up to date on exactly what you're seeing now.
Well, the police have been in and out of the building that you mentioned at least twice and up and down the blocks. And there's been several bursts of activity. Right now, it's comparatively quiet, and you know they're moving through various neighborhoods where they get tips, or where a dog points at something, or where a neighbor says something, and so it's very fluid. I think it's very difficult for the police to know which way to turn.
It sounds very important to make this point because earlier when we spoke a couple hours ago, it sounded like police were focusing on a building. You were saying they are now covering a larger area, going even into different neighborhoods. And so their search has expanded. It sounds like we're no longer certain at all that there's one building where one of these suspects is held up.
No, and I don't think they were ever certain of there was one building in the area where I have been that was the subject of a lot of intense scrutiny. However, all night, they've been searching various houses and doing it door-to-door. This was a situation where you had two SWAT teams rushing in, the street very quickly being cordoned off, and a couple of situations where there was a kind of mad rushing around and pushing back of the journalists. Not that that's a bad thing, but it was a few chaotic moments.
Yeah, sometimes they need to get reporters out of the way.
They've been methodical about other parts of the city. There have been various reports that you can hear on scanners of someone being found here, someone, you know, a man trying to get a ride very early in the morning. A bunch of police responded to that to try to find that.
So they're following up on any lead they hear about, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes, as long as they think it's going to be mildly credible, yes. And they are working so hard. It's unbelievable how hard these people are working over the last 30 hours.
Fred Bever of WBUR, stay with us for a moment because I want to focus in on the person police are searching for. We're told he's 19 years old. We're told his name is Jokhar Tsarnaev. NPR's Tom Gelton is with us and has been listening along as we have heard from a couple of people who have met this young man in the past. He'd lived in Boston for a number of years. What is known about him?
He seems to be quite assimilated or integrated into American society. I mean, we spoke with a young man who described himself as a very close friend of his. He went to a public school in Cambridge. He's apparently been here actually since his middle school years. Nevertheless, we do understand that his family is originally from Chechnya. Now, there is an interesting connection here, though, that we are trying to clarify. The AP today interviewed a man they identified as Jokhar's father. Mm-hmm. And they said that they interviewed him in Makhachkala, which is the capital of Dagestan. Right, David?
It is. It's a neighboring republic.
A neighboring republic. Yeah. So it's possible that this family has ties not only to Chechnya, but to Dagestan. And that is something we just haven't been able to confirm all the details. At what point did the family leave? Did the entire family leave? Did his father stay behind? Those are some of the details that we are trying to learn.
And this could be very important because, again, we don't know any details of these people yet that would point to a motive. But Dagestan and Chechnya, different places. I mean, it actually surprised one security expert we spoke to earlier, saying that he could have seen people carrying out, you know, violent actions from Chechnya maybe 10 years ago. He said it would surprise him if it was happening today. But again, we'll sort all this out, and we don't know enough yet about these two young men.
Well, two young men. And the other point is that he does have, or did have, an older brother, 7 years older, 26 years old, Talerman. And it's possible that he had much closer connections to the homeland, as it were, than Jokar had. And, you know, if there were some radicalization involved here, you would want to look as closely or even more closely at his brother, his older brother's travels in recent years.
Although these are both guys who had spent time in the United States, who were involved in sports here, who, at least in the
went
case
of college.
The younger man was had a number of friends, was described as the light of a party, a playful kid who backed a car in reverse down a one-way street. I mean, remarkable little details of young lives, and very little in what we've heard about either of them that would point to any definite reason that they would want to target the United States, that they would want to target the Boston Marathon.
It's a huge mystery. The Boston Marathon, such a soft target, an iconic target for the people of Boston, not necessarily an iconic target for, in terms of the identity of the country as a whole, certainly abroad, not the kind of target that you would expect, you know, an Al-Qaeda group to go after. I mean, we know that Al-Qaeda has been interested in hitting U.S. monuments, for example, mm-hmm. and important buildings in New York. The Boston Marathon, you know, that kind of left a few people scratching their heads.
Some of your reporting has suggested, even this week, that counterterrorism officials for quite some time have thought that maybe these sort of soft targets weren't even very appealing to conventional terrorists.
Well, there is something interesting. You look at this from a counterterrorism perspective, and I just got this email about an hour ago from a counterterrorist specialist who says the simple nature of this attack, the effort to rob a convenience store, the lack of an escape plan, all of this would be characteristics of not a sophisticated plan, but something like a more of a grassroots operation.
Let's make sure we explain what the speculation of that counterterrorism expert there, presuming that there wasn't an escape plan since the suspects seem not to have left the Boston area. He's wondering if maybe the robbing the 7-Eleven was some kind of effort to get money in order to survive on the run for a while. He's asking that question. Anyway.
I think the speculation here is, or the idea, the thinking here is that there are some amateurish elements to this operation.
I want to correct our mistakes when we make them. And the gentleman I refer to as Fred Beaver is, of course, Fred Bever, and he is still on the line in Watertown, Massachusetts. And Fred, before we go away to our local stations, I'd like to just come back to you one more time. And can you give us an idea of how strange has it been in that community to have it locked down throughout the night, throughout the morning, and police just everywhere?
Well, the streets, other than police and media, have been silent. There are a few bystanders who now are out and taking pictures, and it's actually a beautiful spring day here. The cherry blossoms have just started to bloom, and so it's a day which ordinarily would be a wonderful day. I'm watching a Boston police SWAT truck drive right by one of those blossoming trees.
Wow.
I think that's the kind of day it is here.
That kind of tells the story right there. And we know some of those SWAT teams have actually been in residents' yards, which is just an extraordinary image to think about. Fred Bever from member station WBUR on the scene there for us in Watertown, Massachusetts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Tom Jelton in the studio with us will be returning to you as well. Thanks for all of your reporting this morning, Tom.
You bet.
Again, just to round things out and for people who might be just waking up and checking in, the big story we're following this morning, it's quickly developing. There's a manhunt in Boston, a search for one of the two suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing. As we understand it, police are going from neighborhood to neighborhood in the suburb of Watertown, Massachusetts, and the entire city of Boston, including its surrounding suburbs, are in lockdown. Police are still telling residents that they should stay in their homes to be safe. We'll be following this story all morning and all day here from NPR News.